Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents A Community Affair, a weekly program where we discuss with national and local newsmakers important issues that impact our community. And now, here's your host, WGLS-FM Public Affairs Director, Danielle Miller.
Welcome to another edition of A Community Affair. I'm your host, Danielle Miller, and today we're joined by Seth Reynes. In his 50s, he transitioned from female to male, leaving behind a life in which he never truly felt to be who he was inside. It was a journey that took strength, resilience, and courage. As the best-selling author of the first book for transgender teens, Seth is on a mission to alleviate prevalent fears and misconceptions people have about transgender people in the U.S. and abroad. He shares his experiences with such powerful truth-telling force that those who listen to him are inspired with greater compassion and understanding. Moreover, he leavens his straightforward approach with self-deprecating humor. Seth regularly speaks to parents, teens, school faculties, key players in the professional world, and members of the media about issues pertaining to gender identity and what it is like to live as a male and a female. So Seth, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really happy to have you here today.
I agree with you 100%.
I want to start with your book. So your book is called Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. So What inspired you to write this book specifically for teenagers?
Well, there wasn't a book out there specifically written for teens from a transgender person. You know, there are people who are psychologists or psychiatrists or doctors or counselors writing it. And I felt that the tone should come from someone who's walked that walk. And when I originally wrote the book, it was with the intention that if someone was growing up somewhere in the Midwest or any place where they had no support, this book will be able to help them through their life, in school, coming out, disclosing. What happens when something goes wrong? Do you quit and do you go home? So it was trying to give them an overall arching picture of their life, and also if they happen to be transgender and were going to transition, and when to do it, and all the do's, don'ts. So that they had, I would say, like a suitcase full of knowledge before they started to embark, and to help them out of situations that possibly could be bullying or some other type of situation where they felt maybe that they didn't have enough, shall we say, armor, as my mother used to say, alligator skin,
right,
to go forward.
And to get that support. And it's unfortunate and it's sad, but transitioning is really kind of not only like a taboo, but it's just not understood. People don't understand it. So I think that it's really important to have this book and to have this discussion just to kind of open up the real experiences of people, because when it comes down to it, we're all human.
Right, I agree. And it's not just the education. I mean, you have to remember, people from my generation, there wasn't anything to educate them. So people that I'm educating, you know, in the latter years of the life of my generation, you know, 10, 20 years on either side, they weren't, it's not that they're not open to it. They never were exposed to it. And anything that they were exposed to was probably something that was hate or sarcasm or some kind of derogatory comment. And that's about it. There was nothing else more that went along with it, unless for some reason, maybe growing up, you did happen to know someone who was, you know, transgender.
Then why do you believe it's beneficial for children and teens to transition early in life? And then, if you don't mind, a little bit of your own story.
Well, the reason I do it for kids is because they're finding out more. I mean, in the last 20 to 30 years, there's been a lot of, it's not just research, there's a lot of people weighing in all over the world, and there's something called the World Professional Association of Transgender Health, and they come together every 2 years at a symposium to put in more information that they've gathered along the way, and they're starting to realize that kids that transition early are much more freer in their life because they're not perseverating, and they're not saying to themselves or out loud, I'm a boy or I'm a girl, when that's not the natal sex that they have. And so where I think people tend to get excited about it in a bad way is that they think if someone's 5 or 6, they're going to transition. They're not going to do anything.
Right.
You know, and a doctor's not going to do a thing except to tell the parents to socially transition their child and call them the name that they want to be called, and that's it. And so when the child reaches puberty, you know, 5, 6, 7 years later, the parents have already been on board for a while. So it's not like they're going to go into a doctor and right away they're going to do surgery, or right away they're going to have hormones. And that's what everybody jumps to. Again, because they're not educated.
Right.
And they don't understand what I would call the transgender timeline if in fact we had a perfect world. So for kids, I've seen hundreds of thousands of kids who were allowed to transition early, do better in school, do better socially. They're much more happier kids. They're not withdrawn. To me, it can't be anything but a benefit. And actually, it's really the parents that need to have the time to come on board, because that's not their dreams and hopes when they thought they were going to have a kid.
Right.
But you see, my philosophy and what I tell parents is you actually have a choice. You can either allow your child to transition and get on board, or you can have a child that will be depressed and anxious and potentially probably take their life.
Right.
There is no in-between.
Absolutely.
And especially now, because they have the internet to see people and mirror themselves, and they can see, wow, you know, these people are exactly like me. I'm not alone. And in some instances, if they're transitioning early and maybe these parents don't want to allow their kid to do that, and they say, well, let's wait to 18, well, that's not good, because your kid may not make it to 18.
Absolutely. And that is so crucial. You know, identity is so important, and being able to create that at such a young age and being able to be true to ourselves is the foundation of our lives and of our future. It seems logical the importance that it is of a child who does not identify with the sex they were given at birth gets the support they need to be who they truly are on the inside.
Well, identity is something that's been around, but for the world, you know, 99 and 44, 100% of the people never think about it, because they never wake up in the morning saying, I'm a woman or I'm a man. You just, if that's who you are, that's what you know yourself to be, and you go on with your life, and your biggest decision is, what clothes am I wearing, or where am I going, or I've got to go to work, or I'm going to go to school. But when a child or a person has an incongruence between what their mind is telling them and how they were born in their body, that never goes away.
Right.
That is a haunting impression in their mind. It's like emotional chatter that just keeps chatting at this child, you know, I'm a boy or I'm a girl. And they really feel like a square peg in a round hole in many different ways. And so that's why everybody seems to be alarmed about this identity thing. But everybody's identity is formed between 18 months and 3 years of age.
Right.
That's an absolute fact. Do people talk about it? No. Do a lot of trans people, kids talk about it at that age? No. Some do. That's why it's not so unusual if a three-year-old or a four-year-old says, I'm a boy or I'm a girl, because that's about when that happens. But some kids could say it at 8, some could say it at 12. Maybe the 12-year-olds wanted to say it at 8, but their environment in their home was not conducive for that child to open up and talk about it. There's many different things that go behind that.
Absolutely. And with that being said, I would really like to hear a little bit about your story.
Well, my story is, I mean, I grew up in an era where, you know, there was nobody to mirror. There was no books to read. You know, there was a rotary phone on the wall. There was no internet. There were two TV stations. So I grew up for a long time thinking that there's something absolutely wrong with me, because there was nobody else out there.
Right, no resources.
So, absolutely. And even if there were, I mean, honestly, at the age of 8 or 10, you know, go to the public library, what was I going to ask the librarian for?
Right.
It's not like you can Google stuff on the internet, you know, boy thinks like girl, or anything that these kids would type into the internet and get information back. There was nothing. You know, as much as I was out there with all the people in the world, we were closed off due to a lack of, you know, information and education. And so I lived my whole life feeling that way until such time that I started to see things come on the horizon that I could read and actually, you know, begin to relate to. And then at that point in my life, there's no question what I needed to do. I had to make up for all the years that, you know, I lived as a square peg in a round hole and was told, you know, throughout my whole life that I didn't belong in the women's bathroom. So I understand those people. I understand what that's about. And But my mother taught me to grow alligator skin, and I had to just blow it off and try to carve my own life until such time that I knew about it and I could do something about it.
And that brings me into my next question for you. As you mentioned, feeling like a square peg in a round hole, and the feeling that you have to make up for that time in the years not being able to be yourself, here we are today, and as a writer and as a keynote speaker, what are the messages and what are the goals you have for your audiences?
Well, it depends on where I'm going and what they need me to speak about. A lot of times it's a transgender 101. They need to understand the terminology. They need to understand how to use it, you know, what pronouns are about, you know, what do we do about our birth certificates, et cetera, et cetera. And that being, I give a little bit about my story, but I educate and then I entertain questions. If it's in a larger venue, I sometimes with high school kids, I'll talk about, oh my God, the future's now, what are you going to do? So I ask kids what they're going to do with their future, which is more of a general talk. But again, I still bring my story in and I still talk about, you know, the hope for them and their future and what they need to do and find their passion. And if I'm, you know, talking in corporations and even in schools, another talk that I give is like, what holds you back? And that deals, because everybody talks to themselves. Every single person in the world talks to themselves. But of course, if you were to ask them if they talk to themselves, they wouldn't raise their hand, right? Because they
right.
think you're looking to think they're mentally ill. But we process somewhere between 60 and 80,000 thoughts in our mind a day, and we don't give that a second thought, except if it's something in your mind that you either have a fear about, something that constantly keeps reoccurring, or in the case of kids and adults as well, you're taking in someone else's, you know, bad comments towards you, and you're trying to own them, and your body is making you feel bad about it, and how do you get over that? How do you not listen to your mind and go forward? So there's a lot of different ways I take it, because it's really general education, but it's really to help people survive, and it doesn't always have to be trans kids.
Right, absolutely.
You know, it could be anybody from any trauma or any type of thing in life, I mean, because we all have issues that are in our closet, right?
Right, and you know, we're all humans, we're human beings, we all have experiences that carry us through our whole lives. And so, changing gears a little bit, I want to talk about terminology and I want to talk about language. So I'm hoping to get some really important terms to understand, and then also I want to talk about the idea of pronouns and why it's important to consider what someone wants to be called and then going ahead and using that preferred pronoun.
Right. Well, if we talk about pronouns, I would just say to someone, what are your pronouns? And they're going to tell you he, she, they, or whatever they're going to identify with. And that makes it much easier for the person that's conversing with them how they want to be addressed. And also when you use that kind of a statement, the person on the other end of it, hearing it, understands that you're with them. You understand that language and you're an ally.
Yes.
Okay. Because we can no longer, if a woman's dressed in man's clothes, you can't assume that that's a he, you know, or and that person could be a they, or maybe she still wants to be identified as she, because our gender expressions, which is what I gracefully call our outside wrapper, that's what everybody does every day. They express themselves every day by the clothes they wear, right?
Right.
Maybe you want to wear a dress one day, or one day you want to wear a sweatshirt and a baseball hat, right? So that's your expression. And sometimes people can be misgendered if they're only looked at from the clothes that they wear. So in order not to offend someone, if you're meeting someone and they give you their name, but their name could be gender neutral, you know, you're not sure if that's a boy or a girl, you just ask them, what are your pronouns?
And so that's not a rude question to ask someone. It's not something that someone would maybe get offended by?
No. And as far as other terminology, we just talked about gender expression. Identity, we talked about, and sexual orientation. And a lot of people think they're the same. They're not. Simply stated, gender identity is who you go to bed as, and sexual orientation is who you go to bed with, and they are miles apart. A lot of people will ask me, oh, well, you transitioned, did your orientation change?
Right.
My orientation never changed, but what people labeled me changed.
Okay.
So in other words, when I was younger, I was attracted to women, so as a girl, you would say to me that I was gay, right? But the point is, I transitioned to a man, I'm still attracted to women, so my orientation never changed, just now you're just going to call me straight.
Right, okay.
And so people need to understand that when people transition, not necessarily, and more often than not, their orientation doesn't change. But could someone change their orientation? It's possible. I think that who you're attracted to, I think, is a fluid thing. I think that if people were totally honest with their attractions, you know, and they knew that it couldn't come back to them, I think people would have a much larger story to tell than what they tell.
Yes, so, I believe that too.
So, but they don't go hand in hand. Just because someone transitions doesn't mean their orientation changed. To the world, it is, because
right.
they're either gay or straight. But I mean, they still like who they like, and they're still attracted to who they're attracted to.
Right, absolutely. And we live in a society where it's a binary system of male and female. You know, that's really kind of the options. And
right.
So with that, I kind of want to also make sure we talk about sex and biological sex, because I think that that's really important with understanding gender identity and gender expression.
Biological sex is when you're born, it's the, you know, they look between your legs and that's how they identify you.
Right.
And that are your natal sex, okay? That's how you're born. And that's the birth certificate. But, you know, there's been some talk about not putting male or female on the birth certificate and waiting till the child, you know, grows up and into their own gender to decide who they want to be. You know, that's a long time coming if it ever comes.
Right.
But based on what's between your legs has nothing to do with what's between your ears. And that's what the world has a hard time with. Like you said, if you don't fit in one box or the other, we don't understand it, and I think the world is finally now realizing that the spectrum is not narrow. It's extremely broad and wide.
It is.
And people can be many things of many, many types, whether you're either male or female, transitioning or not, or you're gender nonconforming or gender fluid, or maybe, you know, people could be polyamorous. They can love everybody.
Right.
There's all different things and terms that have been there. It's just that the discussion is now, like, out on the platform for people to talk about it.
And when you mention those who do not conform to the system of either being male or being female, I would also like to bring up the word queer and talk about what that means. It seems that our culture is very skeptical about that term and what it means to be queer.
Well, it's the community took that word back because, you know, it was one of those words you just didn't call somebody because it was a slur and a slang. And,
right.
And the LGBT community took that word back. And they own it now. And,
yes.
You know, it's not just an ally. There are people in the community that will say, I'm trans and I'm queer. You know,
right.
That's how they identify. So, and they're proud of it. I mean, that's just what it is.
As you said, the LGBT community took that term back and has put a positive light on it. But can someone who is not directly a part of the community use that term for, say, themselves?
Well, you know, it depends because, you know, it's really funny. It depends on who you are and how you want to define and how you want to use the word. Some people, you know, use it and they have different terminology for it, and other people use it differently as well. Do you have to always be gay to use the word queer? No. But,
no.
I mean, if you ask someone how they identify, then you have to respect what they're telling you.
Absolutely, and I completely agree with that. We're running out of time, and we need to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because you've been listening to A Community Affair right here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. Welcome back to A Community Affair. I'm your host, Danielle Miller, and today we're talking with Seth Reynes. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always go to our SoundCloud at Rowan Radio under A Community Affair. So now I want to talk about advocates and allies.
Right.
And who have been some of your biggest advocates and allies, and how can we become better allies?
Well, I mean, I myself am an advocate. So as far as allies, what I try to do when I speak is shift people's perspective. I don't expect to walk into a religious congregation and, you know, transform people. I never expect that. All I expect to do is educate people, and they have a different understanding and just understand, okay, maybe I'm not exactly like you, but at least have, you know, human respect and decency for somebody and at least understand it. Because, again, we're still talking about people being uneducated in this particular arena. And so when I leave, I always say to people, you may not agree with what I've said, but you now know the truth. And I'm hoping that when you're faced with a conversation that has some pushback, you'll be able to stand up and say the truth and say, no, that's not exactly what it means. It means this. And become an ally, because to be honest with you, allies have a stronger voice than the community actually does, because, you know, everybody wants to blow their own horn, but when it's someone else who gets it for the purpose of human rights and gets it for, you know, civil rights, and they're not part of the community, but they're adjacent to it by being an ally and they understand it, that carries a much bigger stick.
Right, and that actually does make sense. And so someone who is an ally and wants to become an ally, what are some ways that they can actually make a difference and have their voice be heard?
Well, they can participate in the rallies that go on. They can take part in some of the support groups just to understand a little bit more than maybe this little conversation that we're having. They can fight out, for justice. I mean, let's be realistic. Some of the stuff that's been going on these days, can certainly use a whole bunch of allies. And we're certainly living in a different world than I lived in 30 or 40 years ago. We've got, millions of people behind us now and corporations and a lot of people who have just been around long enough to say that this kind of chatter is ridiculous. We need to fight. And it's always great to see people fight for the cause of human rights, because what's next if you don't?
Right. Absolutely. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in advocating not only for yourself, but other people in the community?
Well, it all depends on where you're talking about. Sometimes some of the challenges come between parents and kids because the parents, are afraid. They're not on board. And usually as a parent, you're supposed to know more than your child. And when a child comes to you with all this information, especially if they're 10 or 12 and they've pulled it down from the internet, you're like, wait a minute, we're going to do what? I don't know anything about what's going on here. But to the good and to the bad, transgender's been out in the media, and you have to be under a rock not to understand now if your child is displaying some type of behavior, younger kids, that could be transgender. If a child has persistent, insistent, and consistent behavior, that's probably more than not a clear sign that that child is transgender. But where to go? Like, all this stuff was not there. We have tremendous organizations like HRC.org, and they have a list of all the LGBT clinics in the country. So if someone, wasn't sure where to take their child, there's a list. I mean, right here in New Jersey, there's three places now. There's Philadelphia, there's CHOP and Mazzoni Center, and now Robert Wood is becoming a major player in Somerset. They have the Proud Family. They've been open for about a year. And then, of course, there's always New York City. There's Cal and Lord in New York City. So there are places to go, and I encourage people to, if you're concerned, to take your child to the right place and get an assessment. And just go from there and just try and educate yourself. There's many conferences. There's a conference coming up this first weekend in November, the Gender East Conference in Newark. We just came off of a big conference in Philadelphia this first week in September, the Transgender Health Conference, and that gets like 5,000-6,000 people. And it's a free conference. So there's many, many places you can go to get information. And I believe now when you type that word on the internet, transgender, most of the information you get is legit.
Right.
Very little is sending you down a dark alley.
Right. And I want to thank you for giving the resources, because that was going to be one of my questions. So again, it's HRC.org. Then are there any other resources available?
There's plenty. There are plenty. It depends. In New Jersey, if this podcast is that's where it's going, we have a law against discrimination. So, and that's in a public accommodation, which would be work, it would be, domicile and schools. And so trans kids are protected. Some of the schools may find out the hard way if they go against the state, but we are protected by the state law first before federal, because I know there was a take back, on Title IX after Obama left the White House.
Right.
So for New Jersey, it's pretty good. Other states, it all depends on what state laws are. And I find that niche by niche, district by district, you're going to find in some of the most surprising places that they do have a transgender policy, places that you wouldn't think. Because I think it comes down to human rights, if people get it. And
right.
I think all it takes is to have a couple parents who are on board in an area, and they're fighting for the child.
Right, absolutely. And that's really important. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
I would love for, and if we had the best world, I would love for people to understand trans kids, because a lot of kids, like between 14 and 18, are kicked out of their houses. The LGBT community, 43% in that age group, are homeless. 43%.
Wow.
And so sometimes, you know, if a kid comes to me and the home environment isn't all that great, I do tell them to wait till they're 18. If they feel, you know, they're going to be kicked out or, you know, something else goes on, you know, abused or something. It's unfortunate that parents think this way, but we do have that. And for every family that we can keep together, because I'm a facilitator for Jersey Shore PFLAG, which is in Monmouth County, and we have a transgender group the third Monday of every month, they can look on the website, Jersey Shore PFLAG. And, you know, we try and keep families together. And it's great because parents can support parents, and it's not as daunting. I mean, listen, anything new is daunting. I don't care what it may be in your life. Once you get involved and you understand information, it's not daunting anymore.
Right.
And, I mean, look, life is about change in any way, shape, or form. And if you fight change, no matter who you are, no matter what the change is, you're going to be miserable because nothing stands still in life, nothing. And nothing waits for you either.
So where can people find more information about you and some of the things that you do and how to get involved?
Well, I mean, they can go to my website. I'm on Facebook. I mean, my website is Seth Raines. RAINESS.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. You know, they just follow, and if they have questions, they just email me, and I try to help people out as much as I can, because sometimes people, I also will coach families, especially those who are just starting with a child, and they want to know, like, what does the roadmap look like for my child from this point till, you know, 18 or 20 or whatever it may be? My coach families as well. So there's a lot of different ways they can go. I mean, you've got HRC.org, as I told you. You've got NCTE, I mean, which is the National Center for Transgender Equality. There's many. There's the Transgender Law Center. There are huge, I mean, of course, in this state, the ACLU as well. We also have in New Jersey, it's Garden State Equality. If they're in the small schools, there's GLSEN, G-L-S-E-N. They deal with safe schools, and they deal with, I'm also a volunteer for them. They deal with, as I said, safe schools and the GSAs that are in the schools. I myself am on the board of CHOP, which is the City Hospital of Philadelphia. It's their Gender Development and Sexuality Clinic. So, I mean, there's many, many places that they can go, get information, and for themselves or just general information. PFLAG.org has got a plethora of booklets that, you know, are English and Spanish, and how do I tell my family, and, you know, what's a trans ally. There's all different types of, you know, information, and on my website I have a resource tab. Hit it and give me your email, and I've got like a 15-page resource guide that at least starts people in the right direction, A to Z, about transitioning, health, legal, surgeries, everything.
Wow, that's fantastic. And again, Seth's book is called Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. Thank you, Seth. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Alrighty.
Well, that does it for another episode of A Community Affair. I'm your host, Danielle Miller, and today we spoke with Seth Raines, who transitioned from female to male in his 50s, leaving behind a life in which he never felt to be who he truly was inside. He's on a mission to alleviate the still prevalent fears and misconceptions people have about transgender people in the U.S., and it's been really great talking with him today. Don't forget to tune in next week, same time, same place, Monday nights at 5 p.m., right here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
You've been listening to A Community Affair with your host, WGLS-FM Public Affairs Director, Danielle Miller. Be sure to join us every Monday at 5 p.m. as we discuss the important issues that impact our community. Only here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.